In the 1823 dictionary, Webster's definition of this word, blasphemy, it says, an indignity offered to God by words or writing, reproachful, contemptuous, or irreverent words uttered impiously against Jehovah. And then they quote an author, blasphemy is an injury offered to God by denying that which is due and belonging to him, or attributing to him that which is not agreeable to his nature. It also says that which derogates from the prerogative of God. And then the definition of a blasphemer reads, one who blasphemes, one who speaks of God in impious and irreverent terms. So I want you to understand what a blasphemer was, because we're going to be talking about blasphemy here in the Scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah 36 and 37, and we'll go through most of both chapters here. Modern Christendom is under attack by enemies of God and enemies of the Christian people. This attack involves all areas of our national and social and personal life, and at this point in time, it also involves the possibility, even the probability, of a great military conflagration. In other words, our enemies are now building a great military power, and we are being threatened to some extent with its existence, and the possibility may bring a war against us. Their military power is now in many of the nations of the earth, which they have already taken over, and they are talking now, both our patriotic people, about the possibility of an attack from the Soviet Union and the Soviet Union itself, bragging about its ability in the military era. So we're going to read a story of an enemy nation coming against an Israelitish nation in Isaiah 36 and 37. Actually, they were coming against the Judah kingdom and demanding its surrender, just as it is possible that the Soviets, using their military power as the threat, may at some future time come to us and demand our surrender. So we may find ourselves in the same position as this ancient Israel nation. Let's read what happened there and see if we can understand from it, because God has given us this word for our instruction and for our hope, and to tell us what we should expect not only of ourselves, but of God Almighty in these cases. Isaiah 37, this is the reign of Hezekiah, and remember, Hezekiah was a good and godly king, and he did that which was right in the sight of God, and so on. Isaiah 36. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. So he took part of the kingdom, and transposing that over to modern age, he could possibly take part of southern United States, part of Florida, Alaska, some of these appendages that we have out here that they're talking about the possibility of our losing before we surrender, and so on. So he took some of the cities of the nation were already captured, and the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem under King Hezekiah with a great army. This is no small military invasion. A great army, already taken some of the territory. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna, the scribe, and Judah, Asaph's son, the recorder. So these are three representatives from the Judah or Israelite kingdom come out to see what this enemy has to say. He wants to talk to them. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel. In other words, the enemy says to these representatives, your king says, I have counsel and strength for war. Now, on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? The Judah kingdom was not going to surrender, so, of course, the enemy called that rebellion against them. And he's asking the representatives, what do you trust in that makes you defy me? I'm the great Assyrian king with this conquering army. Verse 6, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt. And prior to this, the Judah kingdom had had a treaty with Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar? So he ridiculed and put down their trust in themselves, their trust in their allies. And then he said, how can you even say that you trust in the Lord your God because you've broken down all of his altars in the Jew kingdom already? And that's a valid question. And I suppose that would be a valid question for the Soviets and the Antichrist if they came against America today and said, well, you can't trust in your allies, you can't trust in your military power, and if you say to me you trust in your God, how can you claim that because you've already broken down the worship of God in your nation? What Hezekiah had actually done had been broken down all of the false worship in Judah. But you know, if our king, our national leader, were to break down all the false worship in America, most of our Christians would think he had broken up the worship of the true God, right? Because most of what passes for worship of the true God of Israel in the United States of America is actually worship of idols and false gods. So the Assyrian king was right in his question. He was wrong in the assumption of the answer, but he was right in the question, just as they might be. Verse 8, and here's what he demands. Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. He wanted them to sit down at the treaty or bargaining table with this Assyrian king and sign some sort of an agreement that they would pledge their fealty to him, and then in turn he would give them horses for their armies. In other words, their armies would become his armies. This is what this term means. I will give thee 2,000 horses if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. You furnish the soldiers, and I'll furnish the equipment, and your army will become my army. Now, you perhaps have heard in recent years some statements by American presidents or American leaders that it may be necessary for us to enter into some sort of an agreement with the Soviet Union to police the peace of the world. So you see, we're already being prepared where we would go into a treaty agreement with them, and then we would work with them to police the world. We're doing that to some extent already, but it's done in secret and we don't understand it. But this is what the Assyrian king wanted. He wanted a treaty because you have to sign the treaty. You have nothing to depend on. You have no allies, you have no military power, and you've already destroyed the worship of your God that you claim to believe on. Verse 9, how then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of thy master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots or for horsemen? In other words, he said, you couldn't even stop one of the smallest units of our army, and you can't trust in Egypt. Verse 10, and listen to this. And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. So this Assyrian came to this Israelite king after pointing out that you have no power to resist him, and then he adds, God has told us to come here and destroy this land. Now, you may think that the communists do not claim that they have any authority from God Almighty to come and destroy America. But if some of you will listen to some of the preaching in America, you will find out that many of the people, and I could name them as almost all of the Pentecostals, almost all of the Baptists, even the Seventh-day Adventists, preach that America is going to be destroyed. And they write books about it, and they go on television, and they tell you all of this, and they claim for their authority to be the Word of God. Therefore, what are they saying? They're saying the communists have God's authority to destroy us because it's prophesied in the Word. Now, it's true that we do claim that the Bible says the communists have God's authority to chastise us or punish us, but not to capture or destroy us, because we're the Israel people and God's going to deliver us. But we are being conditioned from American pulpits to believe that God will allow the total destruction of the United States of America. So that's all this Assyrian emissary was saying. We've come up here, we've got the authority of God to come here and destroy this Judah kingdom. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, or in your native language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Judahites' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. So these Israelites said to these enemies, don't talk in the language that our people understand. We don't want our people to hear this. You talk just to us. What was the communist Assyrian or the red Assyrian's answer? Ramchaki said, "Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?" Now that sounds like rather brutal language, but you know what he's saying? "I have come to tell the whole nation of Judah that if you do not surrender to the Assyrian king, we're going to starve to death your whole people. You'll eat your own dung because of what we do if you don't surrender to us." Now, they do not want this message only for our rulers. You know, some of our so-called patriots have told us, well, it's possible that the Russians will notify Washington, D.C. that they have this overpowering military might, and then the President of the United States has that phone there, and they'll talk, and they'll agree to a surrender, and it'll have to be done because the President will know he can't defend the country. But the people won't know why they signed SALT II and SALT III and all these other treaties. They won't know that the President has actually signed the surrender terms. And I believe here, this Assyrian, this red enemy of Israel at that time, was saying, "I've come here, we want the whole people of this Israelite kingdom to know they're going to die if they don't surrender to us." And all over America today, there are college professors and members of the World Council of Churches and all sorts of these people who are telling us, well, what we have to do is agree with the Russians on a certain kind of disarmament or else we're all going to die in a nuclear war. So the emissaries of the Assyrians are already here bringing us this message, telling us you're going to starve to death, you're going to die, and the only way you can save America is to sign treaties and agreements, disarmament agreements or whatever, with the Reds or the Assyrians. And that's what they were telling them at that time. And then he stood up in verse 11 and cried with a loud voice in the language of the Judites, and that should read Judites there, and said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you." Now he's telling the whole people. See, he told the representative of the king first. Now he's telling the whole nation of Judah, "Let not the king deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." Now, are we so far down the road at this time that that has already been done? How many of you have ever heard a politician of any note in America even use a phrase that would imply that God Almighty can deliver America? See, they don't tell us that. Now, here's the red Antichrist Assyrian coming to the people and says, "You don't believe them if your leaders tell you that." And here we are in America, and our leaders don't tell us that. They very carefully do not bring God into their warnings that they give to the people at all. "Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present," in other words, you sign a treaty with me, "and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his own cistern. If you don't sign the treaty with me, you'll all die of starvation. If you do sign the treaty with us, every one of you will have his own vine and fig tree, and you'll live in peace and prosperity and plenty." That's what the communists and the agents of the communists are telling our high school and college students and telling from the pulpits all over America. What we have to do is do things according to the way the Assyrians do in Russia, according to what the Reds do. If we do it that way, we'll have peace and prosperity, but we resist them and we'll all die in a nuclear war. So the Reds are bringing the same message to us that this Assyria brought to the Judah kingdom. Verse 17, "Until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, we'll give you peace and prosperity even if we have to take you to another land." This is the cry of the Reds and the Communists. "We'll give you land and prosperity and peace," and that's what they were claiming they would give. "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying," this is the third time now he has warned, "you beware that your kings will say the Lord will deliver us." And then he begins to ask these questions. "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the land of the king of Assyria?" Remember, at this time, Assyria had conquered all of the whole eastern end of the Mediterranean, all the way from Turkey to Egypt and as far east as India. And the only land that remained unconquered was this little Judah kingdom. The northern house of Israel had already been conquered. All other nations were under the rule of the king of Assyria. And he says, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the land of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamah and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Samaria was the capital of the northern house of Israel. They had already been captured also. Who are there among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? The Reds can come to us today and say, we have conquered all of Eastern Europe. We have conquered most of the subcontinent of Asia. We have conquered China. We have conquered Cuba. Now we're taking over Central and South America. Have the gods of those lands saved them from our hand? And we would have to answer no. Because it's obvious they have conquered all these countries. They've taken them. The same question is being asked of us today. Well, where is God? Where is the gods of all these lands? Well, where are they? They didn't save them from communism, did they? But they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Remember, Hezekiah was a good, godly king who understood God's relationship to the house of Israel and understood the laws, statutes, and judgments. And Hezekiah had told his men, you listen to what they say, but you don't even talk to them. Now today, we've already gone beyond that point. No matter when the Soviets or the communists say they need some sort of a conference with us, our president and our Congress immediately sends a dozen people or 100 or 150 to Helsinki or to Peking or to Moscow or someplace. We talk to them all the time. But Hezekiah had instructed his men, you don't answer them. Find out what they want, find out what they say, and then you bring it back to me, which is what they then did. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent and told him the words of Rabshakeh. So they came back now to the king of this Judah kingdom to tell them what had been demanded by these Syrians. And you notice I've been using the term Assyria and Reds and Communists all interchangeable because, as we say once in a while in some of our newsletters, still is our ancient foe. The same people trying to capture our Israelites in those days are the same people that are trying to do it today. So the enemy is still there, and to a great extent you can recognize their demands are the same. And interspersed in their demands and by their agents is this theme over and over and over, don't ever let anybody teach you that God can save you. See, we've got thousands of atheists writing newspaper articles in America who try to put God completely out of the picture. Our politicians and those connected with our government very seldom ever mention that God will have any ability to save America. And out of the 300,000 ordained ministers in America, how many of you have ever heard that God Almighty even has the power or the desire to save the United States of America? You see, so they are obeying what the Assyrians want them to do. Don't convince the people God can save the nation. All right, let's go right on in chapter 37. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Well, praise God, they had a believing king. He didn't go to Egypt. He didn't call out the military. He did the third thing they were afraid of. They weren't really afraid of him calling out the armies of Egypt. They weren't really afraid of Hezekiah being able to call out his own armies and defeat them. What they were really afraid of, and I believe that our enemies are afraid of, is that we would turn and begin to trust God for our deliverance. That's why they use every effort that they can to prevent us from even thinking about God saving the United States of America. Now, this godly king went where? He went in to the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. So he calls God's prophet in. He said, we want to know what God says about this. No separation of church and state in this time of national trouble, right? And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. Remember what we've been hearing here from the Assyrian. A continual denigration of God. Your God won't save you. He can't any of the power. In fact, he's given us authority to come and take rule over your nation. So they were blaspheming God. That's what they were doing. So Isaiah said, that's what this is. This is a day of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be, and here's what the prophet says, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left, referring to the remnant of the Judah kingdom, of the whole house of Israel. Did you see what the prophet's instruction was to the king, that his hope was for the deliverance of Judah? He didn't say, maybe God will save us because we pray and ask for salvation. He didn't say, well, maybe God will save us because it's in his plan. He said, maybe God will save us if he will hear the blasphemy of these enemies of ours. Now, you think how we sit here in this country with literally millions of people who blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ and his teachings all around us forever and ever. And how many of us ever think, well, maybe we better start praying to God that he hears what these people are saying and that he starts to do something about it. Notice, we thought this Assyrian emissary came to demand the surrender of Judah, and he did to some extent. But you notice what the prophet said he came for, or why the king of Assyria sent him? Whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. And it is true that the Red Bolsheviks and the communists, who are fighting against the followers of Christ and fighting against the Christian religion and fighting against America, their main battle and war is not against us, it's against God. And we forget that. We think we're the target and we're the victim. And Isaiah recognized they have come to defy the living God. And we should think about praying to God to hear what they're doing and act against them for their blasphemy. He says, it may be that God will hear the words of Rabshakeh. So this, verse 5, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. And this is God answering. And notice he said, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Here's something else that we may not have thought of. You know, there's a great move on in the United States of America and also in Europe today by an organization of Catholic bishops, by the World Council of Churches, by all sorts of modernist preachers who are telling us in all sorts of different ways that we have to disarm and make an agreement with the Reds or we'll all die. And they use the nuclear bomb as their excuse. Do you realize what they are doing? They are acting as the servants of Assyria and they're blaspheming God. So this one man who came and talked to Hezekiah's ambassadors here is not the only one who was blaspheming God. Every man in the United States of America in Christendom who preaches and teaches to our people that we are lost and will die unless we make agreement with those who blaspheme God are themselves blasphemers and are the servants of the Reds and the Assyrians. Analyze, if you would, what has been done to us as a people regarding resistance or opposition to Soviet communism. The thing that we have been preached to the least by our own priests and ministers is to look for God to answers regarding communism. They have answers from the Bible, or supposedly from the Bible, for all sorts of personal problems, family, race, discrimination, women's rights, voting, disarmament, and on and on. But who ever heard a minister or a priest give an answer from the Word of God as to what to do if our enemies demand our surrender. Perhaps they have secretly been convincing us all these years that we are not to trust in God on that subject or the possibility of surrender to the communists. Billy Graham is a prime example. He's only one of thousands. When he went to Europe and participated in that disarmament conference, then what did he do? He told those people, and we reported back to us, that Billy Graham, the great Christian minister's answer was that we had to sit down with the communists and work out some sort of a disarmament deal, or we'd be all killed in a nuclear war. The only thing about these men that was different from Hezekiah's time, that today we don't know these men who are telling this are agents of the Assyrians. At least in Hezekiah's day, the man who came to the ambassadors and demanded their surrender and ridiculed their God and said that there was no help in God and so on, were known and identified agents of the enemy nation. Today, most of the people who tell us about how we can't trust God and we have to make commitments and treaties and eventual surrender to the communists claim that they're Americans, and many of them claim that they're preachers of the gospel. I believe if you analyze it on that basis, we've got literally hundreds of thousands or millions of the servants of Assyria in here telling us all the same thing that this man tried to tell Hezekiah's men. Forget your allies, forget your military power, and don't you dare trust in God to try to deliver you as a nation. The prophet Isaiah came in and told Hezekiah, he said, this is a day of blasphemy, and we better pray that God will hear what these people are saying in blasphemy against God. And the Lord answers, verse 6, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard. Don't be afraid of their threats wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his land. God told the prophet who told the king it was God's intention to destroy them. Now, isn't it true that we have a 1,000-page book called the Word of God in which anyone with some diligent search can find that God has told us he's going to destroy the red Antichrist from off the face of the earth and deliver us? So you see, we've already been told, but God is now here telling Hezekiah, says, I'm going to destroy the Assyrian. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he had departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tyre, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, so here the king of Assyria is involved in the battle with other people who have not yet surrendered to him. And so he goes back or sends emissaries back to Hezekiah again. You see, Hezekiah hasn't surrendered. He hasn't sat down at the peace or the conference or the appeasement table, and so he goes back again. What's his word again? Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Now, this is after the prophet has been told by God Judah is going to be saved. And here we are, some handful of us, some few of us, we're attempting to tell the whole nation of America that God has said we will be saved. And so what do? They come back and say, well, don't pay any attention to what that man or that minister said about God saving America, because, and then he goes on again, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, and here comes the propaganda again. Thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? You have heard that they've taken over Czechoslovakia and Romania and Bulgaria and Poland and Eastern Germany and Cuba and China. See, they come back with the same thing over and over again. Communism is the wave of the future. Communism has the power. They have military power beyond comprehension. On and on and on. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Reza and the children of Eden which were in Chalazer? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? So he asks again, where has any nation ever stood up against the red communists and regain their freedom. And we would have to answer, well, same thing we would have answered before. I guess you're right. They conquered every nation they've ever attacked. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, and you listen to this prayer, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. He acknowledges God as the only God and the creator of all things that there are. Verse 17, incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear my words, and save Judah. Didn't say that. Incline thy ear, open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. I wonder what would happen over the years as our people begin to pray, God Almighty, hear the words of the blasphemers of Jesus Christ among us and rebuke them. We have so much fear as to what will happen to us from them that we think primarily, well, God save us from them. And the truth of the matter is, the greatest evil in the sight of God that the Red Bolsheviks and the Antichrist are committing is not their treatment of people, but their blasphemy against God. Remember, God is not only the God of the living, but He's the God of the dead. And He's the God of resurrection. Do you realize that in God's eyes, as people are murdered, that is not as important as it is to us? Because if God is the God of resurrection, those people are going to live again. So you see, that is not a real great crime. That crime is going to be changed. But the real crime against the God of the Holy Bible is blasphemy against Him. And that's being committed in our land and by people in high positions in government and by unknown numbers of men who masquerade as Christian ministers. Remember the definition I read of blasphemy. Even preaching that which is against God's nature. Now those who preach that God is going to snatch all the Christians off the earth in a rapture and turn the world over to some Satan or Antichrist or some devil, they are preaching that which is against God's holy word. And what are they doing? They're blaspheming God. And Hezekiah had sense enough to know, after the prophet told him, of course, you go in there and you pray that God hears their words. Open thine eyes and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. And they have. We have to admit that to God. We know they have. And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. You see, we know why they have conquered China. Because China had no god. We know why they have taken control of India, because India has no god. We know why they've taken control of Eastern Europe, because they trusted in a no god. Not in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. And here's the reason that's here to save us. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. When we get around to praying to God, when we pray about saving ourselves, not for the good that will come of it to us, but save Israel in the end of this age, that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that thou art God of Israel. And that reason is given, of course, in many of the passages in the Scripture. God alone will be exalted in that day. The saving of Israel will be for the conversion of the nations. We have sermons, whole sermons on that subject. And that's what he's praying for here. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. See, God's answering this prayer against the blasphemers. This is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Now, isn't it interesting that here in this prophecy, God has inserted through Isaiah the titles or the descriptive phrases that fit end time Israel? You know, in Micah and Hosea and some of the rest of these places, end time Israel is called the daughter of Jerusalem, the daughter of Zion, not the old mother, not the old land. And he says, this kingdom, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee, and I believe, finally, eventually, one of these days, as we are actually put in the position that Hezekiah and the Judah kingdom were put in by the king of Assyria, when we are told in no uncertain terms that you people of Christendom, you Christian Israelites in America, you'll have to surrender or else you're all going to die in the famine or in the war, I believe we're going to turn and do what these people did and pray that God hears their demands on us, because those demands are blasphemy. Those demands that we surrender because God can't save us is a blasphemous demand. And at that point in time, we will do to the Red Assyrians, we will do this. We will despise them. We will laugh them to scorn and we'll shake our head at them. That's what the Judah kingdom did. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? God answered Hezekiah's prayer because the Judah kingdom accepted the truth that the demand for their surrender was not blasphemy against the Judah kingdom, but blasphemy against God Almighty. And every demand of the communists and the Reds that we forsake our God and accept their ways and their power over us, they are blaspheming God as they make those demands upon us. And God answered, he said, because you've done this. By thy servant hast thou reproached the Lord in his head. By the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. And I will cut down the tall cedars thereof and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and to the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. This is what the Reds and the Communists claim. We've done all this with our own power. And God rebukes them. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient time that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. And God will remind the communists in the end of this age that he, God Almighty, wrote it in a book 2,000 to 3,500 years ago exactly how the red communists would be allowed to conquer nation after nation and lay them waste. It's all here. So God is reminding this Assyrian king, I've already prophesied that you would conquer these other nations. And you go back and read the prophecies, and he did. He said that Assyria would capture all the nations of that area. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops and as corn blasted before it grown up. Because I gave you power to conquer, you conquered. Just as God has given the Reds power to conquer. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. If there's any one thing that characterizes the Reds and the Communists and the Antichrist, if you ever want to listen to one of them sometime, get in a personal conversation with someone you know is communist or pro-communist, where no one is around to hear, and you start talking about Jesus Christ and listen to him. You'll hear swear words and blasphemy like you never heard before. They hate the God of Israel with a hatred that is not even understandable by us. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap, and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, here's a future prophecy, shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. So God inserts a prophecy for the fulfillment of all the prophecies to Israel, as he tells this Assyrian king he's going to be destroyed. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way which he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Remember, God had made a covenant. God would do what he had to do to keep his covenant with Israel. And here's what happened. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. One night, God's angel destroyed, killed 185,000 men of the Assyrian army. That destruction of the Assyrian army followed the Judah kingdom's understanding and prayer to God that the attack on them was not an attack on them, it was an attack on God Almighty. And as the Red Antichrist are attempting to destroy America and attempting to destroy our people, their real hatred and their real attack is on Jesus Christ. They want to destroy Jesus and his teachings, and they're doing it by trying to destroy you. Their blasphemy is not against us, because after all, who are we? You know, they do write things about us, and they call us names, and they try to smear and accuse us of all sorts of things, but their attack is not on us. It's on Jesus. It's blasphemy against God, and the Judah kingdom recognized this. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Asarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Everything that God had prophesied in answer to Hezekiah and Isaiah's prayer came to pass, and the enemy nation was absolutely, totally driven away, and their army was destroyed. Now, I wonder if it's about time when we begin to concern ourselves with praying to God that he hear the blasphemy of those who are blaspheming him. And let's quit worrying about ourselves so much. We're afraid of what they're going to do to us, and here they have already sealed their own doom with their blasphemy. No matter what we do, no matter what happens in the future, they are under sentence of death because they've been blaspheming the God of Israel. Perhaps this time some of us should even be telling them of those things and telling our people the good news that God will protect his own good name by destroying those who blaspheme Jesus Christ. And let's get rid of this nonsense that we're going to have allies and military power and all these other things to stand on, when here they have defeated themselves with their own words and their own actions. Let's stand. Our Father, my God, we thank you for this marvelous revelation and word, these wonderful things that thou hast given in thy word for us, for our hope and comfort at the end of this age. And Father, we do pray, as Hezekiah prayed, that you open your ears and hear the blasphemy of these people against you and against your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God,
we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.